Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This is episode 1.9, God in the Day-to-Day, Praying. The Bible passage for this episode is Luke 18, 1-8. I'll read from the NET, the New English Translation. Then Jesus told them a parable to show them they should always pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. There was also a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but later on he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor have regard for people, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I will give her justice, or in the end, she will wear me out by her unending pleas.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unrighteous judge says. Won't God give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long to help them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The topic of praying or prayer is a big, multifaceted topic. A lot of sermons have been preached on the topic. A lot of books have been written about praying. And there are plenty of books that include prayers that you can say. I'm used to saying prayers from books because I grew up Lutheran. The Lutheran worship service that I grew up with was a lot like a Catholic Mass. It was a liturgical service with a strict format that included the same elements in the same order and usually with the same words every Sunday. The only things that varied from one Sunday to the next were the hymns that we sang, the sermon that was preached, and the prayers that were said, other than the Lord's Prayer, which we said every Sunday. But a lot of those prayers, or at least pieces of those prayers, were in the hymnal. So they were formal, just like the rest of the service. Either everyone in the congregation read the prayer together, or the pastor said most of it while we read along. It may sound kind of weird, but do it for 20 years and you get used to it. At home, my three sisters, my parents, and I said a rote prayer before every meal. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. It always bothered me that good and food don't rhyme. And I was an adult before I learned that there's a second verse to the prayer. By his hands we all are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. I also was an adult before I started praying on my own, outside of meal times and at church. When I started saying my own prayers and not reading them from a hymnal or saying them from memory, I really had very little idea what to say. And I had one big question. Why am I doing this? I mean, I knew the obvious Sunday school reasons why I was praying. God wants you to pray. There are prayers throughout the Bible, including all the Psalms, which essentially are prayers that David sang instead of saying. Jesus prayed. He modeled that behavior to his disciples, and he taught them how to pray. But all those obvious answers really didn't answer my question. Why do I pray? And why do I ask other people to pray for me? Am I hoping that if enough people take my prayer request to God, then God will do what I want him to do? Do I think of God this way? Well, if it were just Chris asking for this thing, then I wouldn't do it. But Chris has dozens of people asking for this thing, so okay, I'll do it. Can one person's prayer change God's mind about something? Well, what about five people's prayer? What about 10, 50, 100, 1,000, a million? I posed that question in my book, 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. Before you laugh it off, you should consider that some biblical scholars make a pretty compelling argument that God's mind can be changed, not his character, but his mind, in certain situations. Does the parable that I read at the beginning of this episode give support to the claim that we can change God's mind? Maybe. Or maybe it points to a different reason why we pray, or we should pray. God may make some things contingent on our praying for them, so that we will turn our hearts to Him, rely on Him, and trust in Him. In other words, God is going to do what we want because it's the right thing to do. He's not an unrighteous judge like the one in the parable. He's the righteous judge. He will do justice. But He may wait for us to ask. He may wait for us to ask quite a few times. He wants us to turn our hearts to Him. He wants us to be wholehearted. So sometimes we may pray to turn our hearts to God. Sometimes we may pray to change God's mind. And sometimes we may pray not to influence God, but to change ourselves, to bring our will into alignment with God's will. I'm a big fan of Sylvester Stallone's Rocky movies. Well, all except Rocky V. My favorite is not the original, even though it's a terrific film and won the Academy Award for Best Picture. My favorite is the first sequel, Rocky II. You simply can't beat the back-to-back training sequences and the last round of the fight. I know people who saw the film in theaters and literally stood up and screamed at Rocky to get up off the canvas at the end. But what makes the film special for me is the scenes that involve praying. After losing the bout with Apollo Creed in the original film, Rocky decides to start a new life outside the boxing ring. He marries Adrienne, and she gets pregnant. But Rocky is a failure at TV commercials. He doesn't qualify for most jobs because he never earned his high school diploma. He wants to fight again, but Adrienne doesn't want him to, and a right eye injury in the Creed fight makes it risky for him to do that. But Apollo Creed comes calling again.
28
well,
to 12.
Why do you think he is?
I don't know. He just don't look like a regular dog to me sometimes. Let's change the subject now from football to boxing,
because earlier today, I was down at Apollo Creed's palatial gym, and as usual, the world champion was not at a loss for words about Rocky Balboa.
Look, I know a lot of people out there want to see me in a rematch with a timid fellow who calls himself the Italian Stallion, but this man does not have the honor to meet me. Or is it Scallion?
Now, listen,
what's his name?
Fairness, Apollo.
What
Rocky
is your name,
Balboa,
man?
Balboa did officially retire.
Yeah, the bum's hiding, the bum's running. He doesn't want to face me. He's scared. You know it, and I know it.
Rocky tries to explain to Adrienne why he cannot ignore the call.
You know, I was thinking that I ain't supposed to do no commercials, and I ain't supposed to work in no meat house. I'm supposed to be a fighter.
But you gave that up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm becoming nobody again, too.
Whose eyes? Not mine.
In mine, in here.
We'll get by.
I just did. I don't want you to get by the hard way, you know? I want you to have good things. I want the kid to have good things.
We'll have them.
I just think we need them now, don't you?
Well, Rocky, please. You don't have to prove anything.
It's all I know.
I want you to do it.
It's all I know. Adrian. You know. I never asked you to stop being a woman, you know. So please. I'm asking, please. Don't ask me to stop being a man.
Rocky starts his training, but having broken his promise to Adrian that he won't fight again, his heart's not in it. He sleepwalks his way through training to the point that his trainer, Mickey, calls him a bum and kicks him out of the gym. But at that same moment, Adrienne, who is stressed and overworked at the pet shop, goes into labor a month early. The baby is delivered, but Adrienne, who was hemorrhaging when she got to the hospital, slips into a coma. Rocky wants to stay by her side round the clock, but the hospital won't let him. So he heads to the chapel, where he sits and prays all night. Mickey meets him there at 3 a.m.
I'd like to tell you something once, and then I ain't gonna say it again. But Rocky got another shot. It's a second shot at the, the biggest title in the world. Huh? we're going to be swapping punches with the most dangerous fighter in the world. And just in case, you know, your brain ain't working so good, all this happens pretty soon, and you ain't ready. You're nowhere near, you know, you ain't in shape. So I say, you know, for God's sake, why don't you stand up and fight this guy hard like you done before? That was beautiful. But don't lay down in front of him like this. Like a, I don't know, like a, some kind of mongrel or something. Because he's going to kick your face in pieces. You know that? That's right. This guy just don't want to win, you know. He wants to bury you. He wants to humiliate you. He wants to prove to the whole world that it was nothing but some kind of a freak the first time out. And he said, you're a one-time lucky bum. Well, now, I don't want to get mad in a biblical place like this. But I think you're a hell of a lot more than that, kid. A hell of a lot. But no, wait a minute. If you want to blow it, if you want to blow this thing, damn it, I'm going to blow it with you. If you want to stay here, I'll stay with you. I'll stay with you. Yeah. I'll stay and pray. Well, I got to lose.
Day after day, the pattern repeats. All day at Adrian's side, all night praying in the chapel. Not praying about the fight, praying for the most important person in his life. Finally, she wakes up. His broken heart is whole again. Well, not quite.
You look so tired. Why don't you go get some sleep?
Oh, no, I feel great. Listen, I've been thinking. If you don't want me mixing with Creed no more, we'll make out some other kind of way, you know?
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win. Win.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
But wait, there's one more prayer scene. Rocky's on his way to the arena for the fight. He's late, really late, but he has to make one stop on the way. He drives to his church so they can have his priest pray for him.
Come on. Hey, yo, Father, come on! Father, come on! Hey, Father, come on, you home? Father, come on! Hey, yo, Father, come on!
Okay, yeah.
That's me, Rocky Balboa.
Rocky?
Yeah.
Ma che cosa fai là? Non deve fare la lotta questa sera.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the fight right now, but I was wondering if you could do me a small favor, you know?
Ma sicuro, che favore, che?
Well, it's about the fight, you know? Now I got the family and the baby and all that stuff, and I was wondering, you know, if you could throw down a blessing so that if I get beat up tonight, you know, it won't be too bad, you know? Could you do something like that?
Padre, figlio, spirito santo. E così sì.
Thanks a lot, Father. Listen, I appreciate it. I gotta go. I'm so late. I'll see you at church. Oh, take care.
That's it for praying. Next week, I'll talk about serving. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, man.